This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. Happy Easter weekend.
Happy Easter weekend to you.
Thank you so much.
Do you have your eggs dyed?
I'm fixing to dye them later today. I'm still hunting for some of last year's Easter eggs. I'm trying to follow the smell because it's starting to catch up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I thought you were looking for the plastic ones from last year.
Oh, no. These are the real ones.
Oh, my gosh. How many are you doing this year?
Probably 12.
Well, that's not a lot.
No, we're going to cut it back because when I don't find them, it gets unpleasant for a lot of people.
Well, yes, I know it would.
Yeah.
I'm going to up mine this year.
Oh, really? To what?
Yeah. I think 50.
Ooh. That's pretty substantial.
There's four little kids.
Oh, well, then that would be a good number.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got four little children, it's going to take that many.
Yeah.
Because they want to fill those baskets up.
Yeah, sure. They'll get a little over a dozen each if they find them all, you know, in an even rotation.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, if they only found five eggs, I'd have to leave town. I mean, you know, or at least go live with the llamas. I mean, something would have to happen. Oh, my gosh.
Easter Bunny won't like that either.
No. I mean, you know, Bunny loves lots of eggs.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
He loves pink. He loves turquoise. He loves blue. Uh-huh. Yellow. I mean, he has a lot of favorite colors.
Yeah. Well, and they're all springtime colors, which make us all nice and happy.
That's right. And before I forget, there is a blue moon this weekend. Have you forgot?
I did forget. I don't even think I knew.
There is we've had one in March because February was so short. We had one the first of the month. That one this weekend, and we will not see another blue moon till 2037.
Oh, wow.
2037. So if you haven't seen one, and they are gorgeous, you need to go out and look at the blue moon.
Yeah.
Also, earlier in the month when we had one, you could see all Jupiter, Pluto, everybody, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to look up and see those things.
Yeah, everything showed up because it was a blue moon.
Yeah, and the next one is what, 2037?
2037. Now, you remember when we had the red moon, when all that crossed over.
Yes, that was scary.
It was scary, but it was beautiful, too.
Yeah.
But it was vibrant. There wasn't anything about that.
It really was.
Know? And you just couldn't make up those colors.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. It's just too much for us to really understand.
It really is. So make sure you get out and you see that blue moon this weekend because we won't see another one for another
2037. I mean, we won't even be here.
Yeah. It only happens once every blue moon.
I know. I mean, and I don't think we're coming back. I mean, no. Not, you know, quickly or anything like that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yes, we have had lots of rain. Yes, I've been working on the ark.
Yeah.
And, and being an amateur, it's going to take a while.
Yeah. You're an amateur ark builder. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you know. Oh, man.
I don't know what it takes to become a professional ark builder, but when you get there, let me know.
I'll let you know. Yeah. How many people do you think the thing should hold?
Probably 100,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty big.
Well, I think we'd have to do a redesign.
Yeah.
I think we'd have to call for redesign.
So I just set you back by 10 years.
Yeah, because I was thinking about all the llamas.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And the time we put those in, and 100,000, you say.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be my luck. It'd dry up, and we wouldn't have another drop of rain.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's a great. Eventually, we'll dry it, and you know, before long, it's going to be sunny and hot, and we're going to say, "Oh my goodness, it's like 150." When's it going to cool down, and when are we going to get more rain?
That's right, and we all should be thankful we don't live in Phoenix.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Because in the summertime there, I mean, everywhere you go, they will give you a bottle of water. You know, I was there a year ago, and I wasn't there but a few days, thank goodness. And I'd walk up to the hotel, and they'd be standing there. Here, you need water. The cab companies furnished water. Everybody. It is so hot in the summer.
Wow, that sounds miserable.
And they think maybe you should pour it over your head.
Oh, really?
If you're out very long.
Wow.
People do, like men do. Women don't, but men do. And they still play golf there?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
They need to have some kind of indoor golf with air conditioning.
I bet they'd love that.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Everybody I saw, a lot of them had towels wiping their forehead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, almost every hotel does have a golf course.
Mm-hmm. But none have an indoor golf course.
No, no. Do you know how many acres that would take? Think about that. Give that some thought.
But if somebody could come up with that, boy, they would be a billionaire.
It'd take a billionaire to build it, don't you know?
Yeah, it would.
And he wouldn't have near as much money when he was through.
No, that's true.
Oh, my gosh, he'd be a little short, I think.
Yeah, that would not be a good investment, I don't think.
No. And remember, who do you think owns the land all around Phoenix? That's all Indian reservations.
Oh, that's true.
So they would not take kindly to it, probably.
Yeah, you can't just drive in there with a bulldozer.
No, oh, no, I don't think I'd do that.
No.
Yeah, they've owned that land for a long time.
Oh, yeah, generations and generations.
Yes, and I don't think, you know, the white man's taken it from them once. Then the white man says, let's put an indoor golf course on your land.
Yeah, that won't go over well.
No, I think they just go sit down and say, you know, white men is so crazy. You know, he's just not very intelligent. I mean, you know, they could probably sell them something else. They'd think about that and say, we'll sell them something else, you know.
Yeah.
They're so dumb. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's give out the phone number.
Yeah, let's do that, yeah.
Okay, the phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, this is all about growing your money so you can retire happy and wealthy and early, if at all possible. But either way, no matter when you plan on retiring, whether it's early or on time, or even if you want to stay, work a few extra years and go a little bit longer, the point is you have to retire, or you have to plan if you're going to retire. And you have to start planning, and you have to start investing, and you have to start finding ways to grow your money other than your normal day-to-day paycheck. Because after you retire, your paycheck ends, and you want to be able to still grow your money and do it in the safest way possible so that you don't lose a ton, you know, say in the stock market or something like that. You want to find the safest opportunity to invest. And really, when it comes to being the safest, then there's risk to everything. But the safest way that we can find is really life settlements.
That's right. And you know, I was just thinking again today. You know, we always tell people, we talk about, you know, the interest on their money. Now, let's say that a person didn't have any interest every year. Whatever you have would be depleted every year. Had you thought about that? The principal would be going down every year. And at some point, 10 years from now, 15, your money would be all gone if you didn't have a lot of it, wouldn't it?
That is true.
Yeah. Because if you're taking $100,000 a year, and I believe that's what it's going to take. I mean, if you look at what people want to live, how they want to have homes, they're going to owe taxes, they're going to have a new pickup every few years. So it's going to take 100,000 a year, I believe.
Yeah.
So if you don't have $2 million already saved up, that 100,000 won't go very far, will it?
No.
Because 100,000 a year for 20 years is $2 million.
Yeah. And if that money isn't continually being replenished and growing, then all you're doing is hemorrhaging money, just watching your balance go down and counting down the days. Oh, my gosh, am I going to outlive my retirement fund? What happens if that happens?
That's exactly right. So you've got to have interest every year. You've got to grow this money. A lot of people think, well, I'll just sit here and live off of this. No, you've got to grow that money forever. If you just keep making interest on it forever, you'll have plenty, and you won't have to worry about it. You don't even have to have as much if you're getting interest every year.
Right.
You know, if every couple of years that turns over and it's in cash. You know, and you know the way we figure it, we're paying out about 1% a month. Well, that's about 12% a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure that for 20 years, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Especially if it's on, you know, like if you started out at $500,000, then it became $1 million, then $1.5 million.
Yep.
You know? And most people start out with $300,000, $500,000, or maybe even $1 million.
You know, it adds up very quickly, but then on the other hand, it also fades away very quickly.
That's right. And if you can manage to live off the interest, you won't ever even touch your principal. But I don't know if you can do it. It depends how people are. I've seen people with quite a bit of money and have made a lot of money. And once they get it and retire, then they say, oh, well, what the heck. I've got $100,000 in interest this year. I'll just go ahead and spend it.
Yeah.
And you can't do that on all your interest. You've got to put some of that interest has got to go back with your principal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you owe anything and you start to retire, you've got to get it paid for.
Yeah.
You know, your home or your vacation home. Now, most people are buying a home, as I said. They're buying it on a lake and a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, I hate to say it, they don't want to live out here in West Texas where it hardly ever rains and where we have a drought and you're not allowed to water your yard.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
And if you've got bad drinking water. West Texas got wonderful people, but some of the things here are not wonderful. Okay,
that's right. The people make up for the negative part. Every place has its ups and downs. It's just, but the people are what make all the difference out here.
That's right. I mean, the cactus can be used for many things.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And the thing people need to remember is that when they retire, they are not going to work anymore, but their money needs to.
That's exactly right. You've got to keep the money working, or you will be in sad shape. And that's why when people retire, we don't give them back their money. We just simply say, okay, how much are you going to need every year? Mm-hmm. You know, what do we need to do for you? And that's what we do. And we start setting back cash. And I have a lot of people that when they retire, they say, Faye, this is how much cash we'll need. We need $200,000 all the time. Always make sure we've got that cushion. And then some people say, no, we're not going to use any of that money for 2 to 3 years, even after we retire. We're going to keep it steady right there. So, you know, you just have to work with your clients, find out what they need, how much they're going to spend. And a lot of them may have a ranch or two ranches. So for several years, they may still be running cattle. So they may still have, you know, good income. You just never know.
So what's really key to making this work is that not only, because we talk all the time about how you have to plan for retirement to get to the retirement, but you still have to plan after retirement. Because if you have no post-retirement budget, then people just kind of spend willy-nilly, and all of a sudden, that's how people get into trouble and start running out of money quickly. So you'll put all these things in place, not only to the retirement, up to the date, but then after as well, to make sure that people don't run out.
That's right. It's a lifetime deal. You've got to think about your money and say, okay, we've got it lined up, you know, and here's how we need to budget. Here's how much we need to live on. And let's don't try to spend it all up in 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what people do sometimes. They get carried away. They've never been retired. Remember that. Those people have worked all their life. So you go and you take trips for 2 years. That's usually what people do. But then you need to say, okay, we're living down here, you know, on this water. It's beautiful. We've got a boat. We just go out every day. And, you know, do something fairly simple. And you can still have great holidays, great vacations, but you can't vacation every day of the year.
Right. So for retirement, there's a couple of different options to get to that place. One of those that we talk about all the time is life settlements, which is where people invest in a life insurance policy. So for that, there's a minimum investment amount, and there's a certain requirements. You have to be accredited in order to be in part of this program. So what are some of those requirements?
Well, first of all, you need to either make $200,000 a year separately from your wife, or you have to have a net worth of $1 million without your house. Mm-hmm. You can count everything else, the cattle, the ranch, the rental property, everything you have except the home. And if you have a lake house, you may count that. Okay. And all your rent house, you can count all that. So there's different things you can count that will add up, and like your 401k. People forget their 401k. And if it's assets, remember, it's your assets and your wife's. And if the wife is still working, her assets are important too. You know, and she may have a 401k of $150,000. Her 401k might be bigger than yours if you haven't been advancing yours or putting any money in it, you know.
Do you find that people sometimes come in and they don't realize how much assets they actually have because they forget things or, you know, they think they don't, but they actually do?
That's right. A lot of people forget about their 401k or their wives. They're just adding their things up. They don't realize the wife is half of your asset, you know. So, yes, you can add everything your wife owns also if you're going by assets. Now, if you're just going by salary, it's yours, separate from hers. Okay. And it would be yours plus your bonus.
So assets are combined, paycheck is not.
That's right.
Okay. So what if somebody is close, and I want to stay within the parameters of the life settlement type of program, because I know there's other options, but staying within that option, because I know a lot of people are really, really interested in it because it is so profitable, and it's so not guaranteed, obviously, but it's such a low risk, especially when you compare it to other investment opportunities like Wall Street. So staying within those parameters, if somebody's not quite to the point of being accredited, what are some things that they can do to get to that point? Does savings count? Does, you know, maybe an extra?
That's right. Yes. Your savings count. Your wife may have an old 401k. I've had people say, well, I used to teach at this school. I've got the old 401k I left there. I had another job and I left that one. Well, we're going to bring that back home. Get all of your assets together, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody's had more than one job. I've had men that have had three 401ks because they worked for the biscuit company. Well, they left it there. They worked for FedEx and they didn't move that one. And they should have moved those. So anyway, you can move those old 401ks over to us. It doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
Now, when your company sells, you know, they always want you to take your 401k from them. They don't want to keep your 401k and run it. It is hard to manage those 401ks. So they tell them, you move it to your new employer. We do not want to manage that for you. And that happens a lot.
And so they want you to go ahead and roll it over.
They do, they do. And they say, you know, you've got 30 days. That's usually what they give you.
All right. So they give you enough time to actually get it done, but, you know, do it quickly.
Uh-huh. Yes, and I have some people that call me. Their company is selling on April the 1st, and they're, you know, want to talk to us about some options because that company said, we don't want to manage your 401k.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and, so once somebody is accredited and they're ready to go, they've got all the assets that they need in the right places, what makes a life settlement type of investment so much different than everything else that's out there? Because I know we talk about it all the time. We know how it's very, very popular. We know how much people make. You know, they make tons of money off of this. So why is this such a better investment?
Well, first of all, I think because the bank handles it. We do not handle their money. The money goes, rolls over direct to the bank, not to us, not to our company. Never has Fabag be let an investor give her a check. It's got to go to the bank. The bank is going to be responsible. So I like that a lot better than other investments that I know of, that the people keep it in their company and they invest it for you. So we don't. It goes to the bank, direct to the bank. The other thing is, you know in advance what you're going to make. A life insurance policy will not go down in value.
All right.
And I think those are your two key things. Now, it has risk. Anybody tells you there's no risk to anything, they're sadly mistaken. They haven't lived in this world very long, I can tell you.
Yeah.
So there is risk. The risk with us is two-pronged. You know, if a premium goes over, you've got to be able to pay it. If you can't pay that premium, you shouldn't be in this program. It's not for somebody who's too poor to pay it or who would complain and say, oh, my gosh, we've been out $1,000, we've been out $1,700 this year. If you can't afford that kind of money, you shouldn't do it. So, because it could go over. And then the other thing, while it's invested, it's not liquid. Not until they pass away. And once they pass away, it is liquid. You could take any part of it out.
Okay. So this is not like a day-to-day or a week-to-week, month-to-month paycheck. This is, you're in it for a long time. You've got other money, other places. So this is almost like a, and I hate to trivialize it like this, but it's almost like a side venture.
Well, now, I don't know what that means, but...
It's not that somebody. It's not something where somebody is counting on, okay, next week I'm going to make $10,000, I'm going to take it out and then reinvest it. This is
it's a long-term type of thing. It's not like that.
Yeah, you kind of set it off to the side and let it grow.
It's slow and steady.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't get paid for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, and then sometimes you get paid in 6 months mm-hmm. or a year. So, it is an uncertainty. We usually know pretty close. You can go on our website and look at all the things that have come due, and you'll see that they're pretty close most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We had one the other day that went 1 month over. Supposed to die in 12, died in 13. We've had people this year who were supposed to have died in 30 months, and they died in 12. We've had some in 6 months. We've had some longer than that. And you can't always be sure because, remember, we do life insurance policies on people who have terminal cancer. And you can't pinpoint it just exactly. But we do pinpoint it pretty close if you look at all the ones that came due this year.
But over time, in the long term, it really kind of all averages out.
Yes, I think it does. And that's why we make everybody be diversified. We want you in several different policies. I don't want anybody in one policy. I want them to be diversified where, you know, so many will come in on time, so many will come in early, and so many late. And that way, it'll work out perfect.
So with the ones that come in late, when we're talking about premiums, we're not talking about massive chunks of your profit being eaten away. It's a very, very small percentage. It's there, and you have to obviously disclose that because, you know, everything you do is upfront and transparent. But we're not talking about, oh, my gosh, I'm going to get in this policy, I'm going to have to pay a premium, and I'm not going to make any money at all because it's such a small percentage.
That's right, unless it's those three old ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and remember, we brokered those. We left the contract with that company out of Houston, and now I find out they have been kicked out of Bank of Utah. So those are going to be serviced now by Providence out there.
What does that mean?
Three old ones.
Is that good or bad?
Or neither? I don't know. Well, I'm not going to speculate on it. I don't really know.
All right.
I just know that they're going to have it serviced by them.
And these are some policies that that you had purchased a long, long time ago
of
elderly people that were not sick. You had some misinformation. People flat out lied.
That's right.
And so now you're and that's really how you really started to hone the types of policies that you buy is through that that experience, because now you're not looking for just any old policies. You're not looking for elderly policies at all. These are all stage four cancers, and so you've gone through the policy. You know who the policy holder is. You know all of their treatments. You've known what type of cancer they've had, how long they've had it, things that they've done, things have not done. What types of things are you looking for specifically that make this such a sound investment?
Well, of course, first of all, we want to be there really sick. You know, I had someone the other day said, well, this lady's got a bad heart. I go, my gosh, unless she is, you know, on death's doorstep, you can live with a bad heart for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to explain to people sometimes that cancer is a dreaded disease, you know. Some cancers can be cured, but the ones we're doing cannot be cured. They are stage four, and they're in the final stage, you know. Maybe they start out with one kind of cancer. And I get to reading, and they have another cancer. And it's more serious than the one they started out with.
So to make this super simple, the concept of this is somebody has been diagnosed with stage four cancer, and they say, oh my goodness, I need, you know, some extra money, a big pile of cash to go ahead and pay for these treatments, because cancer treatments are super expensive. What'd you say, like $10,000 a month?
Yes, that's what we have it figured.
And so many people don't have that kind of cash laying around, or they've gone through what they have laying around and they need some more. So they decide to go ahead and sell their policy. And now there's companies out there that will buy different types of policies. So, you know, if somebody's like 95, healthy as can possibly be, they just want to sell their policy. There's other companies for that. You're very specific. And so you buy these ones with stage four cancer. The policyholder gets a lump of money. So they get the cash. They go off and do their cancer treatment, and hopefully they're okay. At that point, you've got this policy, and it becomes an investment opportunity for people to come in, put a certain percentage into it, and then basically, correct me if I'm wrong here, or you may want to go into more detail anyway, basically at that point, you're just waiting for the policy to mature and pay people.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we've already, the due diligence was done before we ever got it, and then we're doing it again on our own to be sure what this policy covers. You know, is it going to be on time? Or, you know, how good is it? How sick are they? And then we look to see how long they've had it, if it's reoccurred, if it's the final months. And most of the time it is.
And you have spent years looking at these reports over and over. And I know you're not a medical doctor, but one doesn't have to be in order to understand these reports, because they're very, very simple. They use lay terms. They're not, you know, these big, long medical things. You don't need 12 years of medical school to understand these. It's all very simple. It's all very concise. You know, what they've done, like you said, where they've done it, you know, the kinds of things they've done. You also look for things they haven't done. Like if they try, like they put off, you know, radiation or chemo, and they've instead decided to go for something like the melon treatment, or, you know, eating, you know, vegetables or whatever it may be.
Well, and, you know, we just had one like that they were going back to Mexico. And I go, oh, no, don't go. You know, don't go back to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Go right here. But lots of times they won't. They really believe it's going to serve them. But this particular person was on their way back, and they got so bad they had to come back and start on treatment here, but it's too late.
Yeah.
You can call it progressive. It has progressed too far. And once it passes that, it doesn't matter what you and I do, or what, you know, what the doctors do. It is too late.
So you've seen for years different reports of people seeking alternative treatments, you know, whether it's a spring water or whatever it may be. They seek alternate treatments, And most of the time, those don't work. And so what's happened is the cancer has gotten more aggressive. It's taken a deeper hold. And so by the time they get back and they start chemo and radiation, it's really progressed. And at that point, it's basically too late in most cases.
Well, by that time, they've called hospice in.
Oh, boy.
And when it says on the report, they have now called hospice. Now, that tells you something. And the other one that I was reading, that I was talking about that heart deal, as to how sick they were, I read on down, and it said they were asking them if they wanted to get on the transplant list. Now, that's the secret right there. If they need to be on the transplant list, they are going to pass away very quickly. Because when you get on the transplant list, that's the final step. You know, if they can't, do open heart surgery, replace the valves, do all this, then if you're bad enough and your oxygen is low enough, they will put you on the transplant list.
Wow. And obviously, yeah. Our goal as human beings is for people to overcome cancer and be cured of it. But the reality is a lot of times that doesn't happen. And so people need some kind of recourse. They need some way to at least try. And so that's why they go ahead and sell their policies. You purchase them or you bid on them against other companies. And then if you're awarded it, then you go ahead and you purchase the policy. And people invest a certain amount of money. What's the minimum investment?
With us. On this particular program, it's $100,000.
Okay.
Because you need to be sophisticated in monies. You need to have a little bit of money. And if you've got $10,000, it won't work. If you've got $40,000, it won't work. You've got to have $100,000 for this particular one. Now, we have other programs that you could get in like $50,000, but not this one. Because of the way we do it, you need to have more. And you have to need to have savings. You've got to have emergency money. It can't be the only money you have in the world.
Yeah.
So our people, they have lots of other assets, so we don't have to worry about it.
So, and we'll get into some of those other options here in just a few minutes. But with an investment of $100,000, you're looking, we're just going to run some simple math here so people can see exactly, you know, what a good, fair, median example of profit might be. So $100,000 minimum investment. And you're looking for policies that go for, like, what are the terms, like, as far as, you know, months?
Okay. It's probably 24-month, 27-month, might even be an 18-month. But those are usually fairly small policies. You know, they're usually $250,000.
Okay, so let's take a 24-monther just as an example, and you try to make people about 1% per month.
That's exactly right.
So what this means is that in 24 months, when the policy is expected to mature, then in 24 months, you get 1 month, 1% per month, 24% on a $100,000 investment. That's a $24,000 profit in 2 years.
That's right.
So, with that said, that's the average, and that's a fairly, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but that's a fairly reasonable, typical type of investment as far as terms, as far as profits, and things like that. It's pretty much right down the middle, right?
I think it is right down the middle. You know, I love the 24-month ones. I've got a guy, he's getting elderly, and he said, I want to start doing 12 months, and that's okay. But I'm telling you, if it comes in early, you've made 24% maybe in 12 months or 18. So you can invest a little quicker that way. And I may not always be right, but I've been right a lot of times this year. So I do think it's a good idea. You know, I would go 24, 27, 30. It wouldn't bother me. And
sure.
Then, of course, we've got the 12-month ones that sometimes go for 6 months. And again, it's really a good policy. You know, you're going to get to do it a lot quicker.
So bottom line is when a policy matures early, the investor still gets the same amount of profit. They don't cut that. You still get the same profit. You just get it faster.
That's right. You just get it a lot sooner, okay?
And so what that means is that, and I assume almost all of your investors, they take that profit, they go ahead and reinvest it in another policy, and that is how this becomes a multi-year type of investment and lets you grow your money so that you're able to retire, hopefully early, if not at least on time, and wealthy and happy. That's how the big picture works.
That is how the big picture works. We're all working toward the same goal, you know? It'll be sipping suds somewhere, you know?
Sipping suds. Basking in the bubbly.
That's right, you know? We were making Kool-Aid the other day, to put in special containers, you know, as decorations. And I said, I hadn't made Kool-Aid in so many years. I don't even remember, hardly how to do it.
Yeah.
And we were trying to decide, do you want everything pink Kool-Aid or green? I said, man, we've come a long way. pink or green? Oh, my God.
Yeah, they have all the newfangled flavors now.
Oh, they do, yes.
Yeah.
I saw all of them, and I said, well, my gosh, all of those will not work for Easter.
Yeah.
We've got to have the pastel colors.
Yeah.
To go with the bunny rabbits,
Sure. It all has to match. It all has to feel like spring and light and airy and fun.
That's right. And, of course, we know some people that love the chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And these companies make an awful lot of chocolate.
Yes, they
do. Can
you
imagine how many chocolate bunnies are made at Easter? There is millions and millions and millions.
I'm sure. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Love chocolate
and
bunnies.
One of the French companies the other day was making this chocolate deal that was going to cost, a fortune to get it. And I'm wondering how many people ordered it.
So delicious.
Oh, yeah.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Every Saturday morning around this time, we always get into trivia, and you always bring all kinds of neat things. So if we're talking about something about Texas, that's cool. It may be something that we put on our bucket list, someplace we want to go, something to experience. What is the topic today?
Well, I wanted to talk about Easter.
Ooh.
Christians around the world celebrate the Resurrection Sunday. Is Resurrection Sunday. We're always talking about how many people do each thing. There will be millions and millions of people celebrating every Christian in the world, and the churches will be overloaded.
Yes.
I wanted to mention that. The churches will be overloaded. Every Easter dress will have been bought. There will not be anything left at the stores, folks.
No.
The Easter dresses have to come.
Yes.
And then the eggs. Did you see where accidentally for the Olympics that company ordered 30,000 eggs?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was an accident. And the company was calling them desperately. We cannot provide 30,000 eggs. Easter comes from other countries. You know that. America is too young to have started the Easter traditions that we have. We're a young country. All these the things that came to us came from the Pennsylvania Dutch and the Germans in the 1700s.
Really?
That's when all the... America didn't have any ideas. We didn't know about things like the Easter. We didn't know about the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny was a sign of fertility. And that's why they started using the Easter Bunny.
Really?
But in the 1700s, the Pennsylvania Dutch are the ones that came over here, and they're the ones that taught us about Easter eggs, coloring them, the whole thing. Because, as I said, we didn't even know about all those things. So Pennsylvania Dutch, 1700s, that's the first time eggs were dyed. Okay? And then Easter bunnies were a symbol, like the bunnies. And then you had Easter trees, and then they had Easter lambs. And they introduced us to ham. ham is our Easter traditional meal, as you know.
Yeah.
And so that's how we learn. We also have Easter weddings. Many of our weddings are on Easter.
That's true.
But, and every state has a different thing, but we have lots of Easter parades. You know, we're proud Americans, so we do the Easter parades. Then we all decorate eggs. We do music, you know, and floats. Floats are another thing. We like to show off our handiwork and what we can do. And then you take the other countries. Every country celebrates different. They have great traditions. The Czech Republic and Slovakia, they have the males of the family to spank the girls, you know, the 18, 20-year-olds, and they decorate them with ribbons. They say it's very lighthearted, and they think it'll bring you good health. And they do things. In the United Kingdom, they roll eggs downhill, and they have a pace egg play. And in Jamaica, they eat a spiced bun.
Ooh.
That contains raisins with cheese.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
Uh-huh. Now, Scandinavia, like Norway, they ski and they relax at their cabins in the mountains. And then they have children go door to door asking for either candy or flowers. Then your Nordic countries, they do salmon and fish.
Mm.
Yeah. And in Australia, the Easter bilby delivers eggs rather than the Easter bunny.
The Easter bilby?
Uh-huh. He's a bilby. France, they make an omelet big enough for 1,000 people.
Really?
Yes.
That must be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Probably. Greece, on the island of Corfu, the residents toss pots of water out the window. And it's a tradition, a Venetian tradition of breaking pots in celebration.
That sounds like
fun
to me.
They make cakes in the shapes of doves.
Really?
Yeah. Guinea flies homemade kites. And they say that is practiced by citizens in a lot of religions.
Wow.
So every country does something a little different. But the eggs started out over here, as I said, Pennsylvania Dutch, because we'd never heard of it. And then it became a little more sophisticated, you know. And, of course, then we started having the chocolate rabbits and bunnies and, you know, really kind of spice things up a little bit.
Yeah. Send us all on chocolate overload is what it does.
That's right. Now, New Orleans is a little different. That's usually when they're having Mardi Gras, and they decorate a lot of floats over there, you know. And the bunny is a major part of our Easter tradition in America.
Yeah.
So if anybody has a bunny, let him enjoy it with you, you know.
Yeah.
And they say every country, these people put aside their differences and come together to celebrate.
Yes. It's a time of peace.
That's exactly right. And, of course, a bunny rabbit is very peaceful, and that may be why he was brought in, you know. And then the eggs, of course, is a big celebration, you know. And I guess at one time, and another reason they do the eggs, I'd forgot. In Europe, they forbid Easter eggs at one time. At one time during their Lent season, the religious zealots over there would not let you have Easter eggs.
Really?
Uh-huh. So, and I'd forgot about that. But it was during medieval times, and they kept people from having Easter eggs. And, of course, the Easter lilies is our flower of Easter. A lot of people forget about that, that the lily is part of our celebration also.
That's right, Easter lilies. It's a whole thing. That's why I've been seeing them in the stores a lot lately.
That's right. The Easter lily is your Easter flower. And it was because, as they say, that at Gethsemane, they had gardens with lilies in them.
Mm.
And people forget that. But everybody celebrates with the the eggs, and as I said, the churches back then in Europe would not let you have Easter eggs. So that's why they were brought back after the bad people way, way back, you know, were gotten rid of.
Yeah.
Because they would not allow you to have Easter eggs.
Once that period ended, they went ahead and brought back the fun things they liked to do.
Yes, they brought them back because they saw how much the children enjoyed it. And really, the adults enjoyed as much as the children because they liked watching the little children hunt the Easter eggs.
Yeah, yeah. It's always, and then decorating them. Sometimes that's like a family activity. You can, you know, write things on them sometimes in like a wax and then dip them in the dye and make all kinds of pretty designs.
Well, and I've always enjoyed that. And a lot of people do it with their kids. That's another fun way to do it. And I like filling the baskets. I like surprise, you know?
Yeah.
And I like helping the Easter Bunny and telling him about things like that. And then he brings those baskets. And it's so much fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's really a time of celebration all the way around. We also, you know, acknowledge that really this is the first time of year. I know spring officially started a couple of weeks ago, but this is really the first time that it starts to actually feel like spring, because it takes a little bit of time before, you know, flowers start to bloom, trees start to bud, and you know, flowers come out, and it starts getting warm and all that. So hopefully Easter weekend is as usually a nice, warm, sunny type of, you know, the weather. So it really helps bring out the happiness in people as well.
And, you know, and I miss the hats and the gloves. I talk about that every year. I love to see the little kids, the little girls with their hats and their gloves on.
Yeah.
And little boys always had their jacket and bow tie or their other tie on.
Yes.
My little grandson will have his bow on, by the way.
is it an actual bow tie or is it a clip-on?
No, it's an actual bow tie.
Oh, fancy. You go for the real thing.
Yeah, we found one. Well, you know, nobody does all this. I thought how much fun it would be. And the girls are all going to be dressed to the nines. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Those girls are always so dressed up. Now, they don't make the can-cans anymore for the little girls.
Yeah.
Now, my other set of grandchildren used to, they had Martha Miniatures, famous little dress company, and the little dresses had can-cans, and they stood out. The little girls were so pretty.
Yeah.
But they don't do that anymore.
Well, that's a shame.
I know, but they still have pretty clothes.
Yes.
They're not wearing Levi's to church.
Not there's anything wrong with Levi's, but just not for Easter Sunday.
No, not for Easter Sunday. At least people are not into that right now. But, you know.
Well, I certainly hope you have a wonderful, happy celebration tomorrow, and happy Easter to everybody over there at the Faye Bagby House.
All right, same to you.
Yeah, thanks. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
Now, we talked about life settlements and you know, the profits that people can make and how safe the investment is. But for those that are not accredited and cannot do that program, there are other options. So if you're thinking, my goodness, you know, I don't have, you know, $100,000 to invest, or, you know, I don't have enough assets, or whatever the case may be, you still want to go ahead and plan for retirement. And there are other options.
There is. They can do annuities. You know, annuities have been around over 100 years. And I know that I have clients right now that have had annuities with me 10 to 15 years.
What exactly are annuities? How does that work?
Well, an annuity is a retirement vehicle. You put your money in the vehicle, and it grows over the years. Mm-hmm. So much a year. Then when you need it, you say, okay, I want so much money a year out of my annuity. Or you say, it's been 10 years, I'm just going to cash it. You can do it either way.
Okay.
So that's the way annuities work.
So it's really, it's a much more of a long-term type of investment.
It is. It's like 5, 7, or 10 years. Right. And if you're 50 years old, it's a good thing, 60, 65. And it will give you guaranteed income you cannot outlive.
So if somebody's in a position where they're not exactly accredited for a life settlement, would it make sense to do an annuity to get to that point?
Yes. I've got some people right now that took out annuities with me, and they're going to keep them till they become accredited, and then they plan to switch over to the life settlements. Everybody loves the life settlements. A lot of my people love annuities. And it depends where you're at in life, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's certainly nothing wrong with either one, whichever, you know, best suits your situation. But if you're looking to do that life settlement, an annuity might be that vehicle that helps get you there.
That's right. And annuity is a safe vehicle. These are fixed annuities. These are not variable annuities. If you have a variable annuity, you're in the stock market and you can still lose money. So these are not that way. Your principal is guaranteed from the day you put it in to the day you take it out.
Okay.
So you're never going to lose your principal. Never, never, never.
All right. So it's not like somebody's going to, you know, have a flashback to 2008 where they lost everything.
No, no. If they had variable annuities, yes, they lost probably as much as they did in the stock market.
Yeah.
But if you had a fixed annuity, you didn't lose a thing.
Yeah.
You just kept going, okay?
All right. So what would be, and I know it's never too early to start planning and start investing and saving for retirement, but what would be like a fairly average age that most people come in to see you and they want to start?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're 55 years old, you should have annuities if you cannot qualify for the other, because you're going to need to have some money time. You're 65.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that would be a real good idea for you to do that.
So how long is it? You said it, and I might be misquoting you here, but I think at some point you said it takes almost 7 years to double your money, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Seven would be a good, and if everything goes right, that'd be about right.
Okay. So early 50s is probably, it's not too late. Of course, it's never too late either, but that's the point where you really want to get on it if you're not already.
That's right. If you're in your 50s, you need to be in a program. You know, not just think about, quit procrastinating. You're going to procrastinate, you're not going to have any retirement, you know. You will not have made the right decisions to help your family and yourself. You want to live comfortable. You don't want to live for less than you do now. In fact, you'd like to have a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to have a comfortable retirement, if you can't afford our other program, do some annuities where you'll have something to live on when you do get ready to retire.
But the bottom line is you got to get started, because if you're not planning, if you're not investing, if you're not growing your money, you're not even going to get to the retirement age or the stage, and so you're not going to be able to do it anyway. So it doesn't really matter, but you have to start planning. And so for those that are at that age or just after retirement, it's important to know that your money still needs to be growing even after your retirement, and that's what makes a lot of these life settlements so attractive, is because, you know, people don't really have to get up at midnight. They're not up in the middle of the night checking things. They know that their money is still growing and that their entire retirement is not going to get wiped out from under them. And then they have to go back to work at 72 years old.
That's right. It wouldn't be fun.
No, it wouldn't be fun.
I mean, it wouldn't be fun. let me tell you something. The younger people at that company are going to be laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always think about that, you know.
Do you find that people get a little more conservative as they get older, or?
Yes, I can tell you that to be a fact.
Okay.
You're not going to see them in checkered shirts, same kind of deal.
Yeah. So as people get closer to retirement and they really worry about, hey, there's a real possibility that if I'm still in the stock market, you know, my 20 years of investing and growing my money could get wiped out and I might not actually retire. That is actually a legitimate concern, right?
It is. It's a concern for everybody. And I'm always concerned about my clients,
mm-hmm.
about them having enough to retire, making some dumb decision that's going to cost them their 401k.
Yeah.
Like it's all in gold.
Yeah. It's
wipeout time. You know?
Yeah, that's no good. That's no good when you're fixing to retire.
No. You don't want it all in a precious metal, I assure you. If you want $5,000 in it, you know, risk it. If you can afford a $5,000 loss one way or the other, don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Don't risk more in something like metals or stock market. Don't risk more than you can afford to lose.
That's right.
Oh. So the key is to get started. So what should somebody do today to get ready to come see you?
Well, they should figure out what they have, what their assets are, what they make, and talk to their wife about it. They've probably been talking to her about it for 6 months. She's already got cotton in her ears. So, see if she won't come with you and talk to me. And if you like us, if you like the program, we'd love to have you.
Okay. So people can just come in for information. There's no pressure. It's not, oh, my gosh,
no,
as soon as I walk in.
There,
you know, I'm in custody and Faye's got me.
No. I'm not going to keep them. I'm going to send them home. And there's no pressure whatsoever. I always tell them, it's up to you. It's your money. It's not my money. And, I can recommend things to you. I can tell you about things. But then you have to go home and talk it over and say, okay. And then think about all the people you know that are making money with us, you know. And at work, your friends, they're telling you, this is what I have with Faye, this is what I've made.
So the takeaway here is really, you need to go ahead and get started. Retirement planning is not a very scary thing. You just need to you basically set it and forget it. But you have to take that thing. This is not a high maintenance thing. It's not going to take a ton of your time or your energy. It's not going to cost you, you know, tons of money or anything. The point is to grow your money and do it as safely and worry-free and stress-free as possible. And this is the best avenue to do it. But to do that, you have to get started. And you're taking appointments next week, right?
That's right.
All right. And one last time, Faye, what's your phone number to make that appointment?
It's 877-588-3330.
Thanks, Faye. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.